Well, brethren, back in March, I took a business trip to Asia, and I visited Taiwan, Hong Kong, and a city in mainland China named Shanwei City, which is in southern China, not too far from Hong Kong. And while I was in Taiwan, I had the opportunity to visit a landmark skyscraper in the city of Taipei, which is named the Taipei 101. It has 101 floors. They're very tall floors, but it's a very tall building. Taipei is the capital of Taiwan. And when the Taipei 101 skyscraper was opened in 2004, it was the tallest building in the world, and it held that title until 2010. And today it is the 10th tallest building in the world. So I have some slides here, if you could show the first one. Some of you may be wondering, where is Taiwan? And my pointer probably won't work on the screen, but if you follow it kind of right up here, it's right down this area right here. It shows Taipei at the top of the island, which is the capital city and where this building is located. So if you, next slide, please. This is the Taipei 101 building. Some people call it the teacup building. It looks like maybe teacups that are stacked on top of each other, maybe square teacups, but yeah, that's okay. This next slide here shows just how massive this building is, especially compared to the other buildings in the area. It is just so tall compared to the other ones. It really stands out. Well, there's something inside of this building that I want to talk about. If you'll switch to the next slide. Well, here are just some other slides before we do that of the building itself. This is standing right in front of it. It's just overwhelming. You feel very tiny when you stand in front of it. Next slide. That happens to be me. I was really there. It's at the entrance. And this is what I wanted to show you that's inside of this building. You might say, what is this? Well, this, if you can follow me to the right, there's a person standing next to a silver sphere, if you can see it off to the right. So it gives you an idea of how big this is. This is a steel sphere that was assembled at the top of the building in slices. Because it's so heavy, they couldn't lift it up there with cranes. So they assembled it in slices at the top of the building when it was first built. The next slide. This kind of shows you what it looks like here. This is more of an illustration. There are these dampers that are also connected to the building or to this sphere, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. And then this shows it in real life of what these look like. They're like shock absorbers or what they call viscous dampers. And this shows where it is in the building, this ball. It's between the 87th and the 91st floor, and it's suspended by steel cables. And I'll talk about what all this means, but it gives you an idea of where this is in the building and the size of it compared to the building itself. I think that's all the slides. So this large sphere that we just saw, this yellow sphere, is 18 feet across, and it weighs 728 tons. And it's suspended from the 91st to the 87th floors of the building by steel cables, as we saw in that one slide. So what is the purpose of this large ball or this sphere inside of the Taipei 101 skyscraper? You see, the Taipei 101 building is located only 660 feet from a major earthquake fault line, and it has to withstand typhoon force winds up to 135 miles per hour. And skyscrapers are designed to flex and sway a little bit, which adds to their overall strength. But a very tall building like the Taipei 101 can sway up to 3 feet during high winds or even more during earthquakes. And this would be very uncomfortable to building occupants if the building is moving that much. But in a worst-case situation, this swaying could significantly damage the building. So the large steel sphere in the Taipei 101 is what is called a tuned mass damper. And what I mean by that is that there are 8 steel cables that form a sling to support the sphere, and it allows the sphere to move as a pendulum. And the sphere can swing as much as 5 feet in any lateral direction. And these 8 viscous dampers or shock absorbers dampen or limit the sphere from moving too much or from oscillating. So this hanging sphere and the shock absorbers act as what's called a dampened pendulum. and the pendulum actually moves to resist movement or swaying in the massive building, counteracting the movement of the building in earthquakes or high winds. So it's very important that this tuned mass damper is in the building. And so the engineers designed this giant pendulum with certain characteristics: the height of the pendulum, the weight of the sphere, and the performance of the shock absorbers to match the natural movement and the frequency of the movement in the Taipei 101 building. In this way, the pendulum is tuned to the building, and hence it's called a tuned mass damper, as it dampens or stabilizes the building when external forces act upon the building. So I actually was able to go into this building and I saw this tuned mass damper, and it was very interesting to actually see it. It's just so massive and it's very striking. And when I was looking at it, it sparked a thought in my mind, brethren. The tuned mass damper is actually like a giant anchor for the building. It stabilizes and it protects the building and its occupants. And there's a powerful spiritual lesson in this concept of anchoring. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 17. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. The hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil." So he talks about laying hold of the hope within us, and that this hope is the anchor of our life. And where does this hope come from? Where does this anchor come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit of God, which God has placed within us. So the Holy Spirit does anchor us in many ways as we walk with God on the path to eternal life and sonship in God's divine family. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. These are the words of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. This is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth," as he's talking to the apostles and to the disciples, that they would receive power from God, power that would come by the Holy Spirit. And it actually does come on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2. In verse 1, we'll just read the first four verses there. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all of one accord in one place, the apostles. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance." So the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that we kept just a few months ago. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit gave the apostles power, just as Jesus told them it would, that we read earlier. And that power, the very power of God, it manifests itself in multiple ways. And one of the important purposes of this power via the Holy Spirit is to spiritually anchor the person who possesses this great gift of God, to spiritually anchor us. So today, in this message, we're going to look at several ways that the Holy Spirit spiritually anchors those in whom it dwells. And these ways or elements are amazingly connected to one another, and they work together to anchor us. So let's look at the first element that we'll consider today in the light of how the Holy Spirit spiritually anchors us. There may be a few more scriptures on some of these points, and I tried to take some of them out, but it was difficult to do so, so I ask that you would bear with me. But the first way that we'll look at, the first element in how the Holy Spirit anchors us, is the Holy Spirit connects us to God. The Holy Spirit connects us to God. We'll begin for this point in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. If you'll turn there, please. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. John writes, "Now he who keeps his commandments," or God's commandments, "abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." We know that God, the Father and the Son, abide in us by the Holy Spirit. And we are connected to them by the Holy Spirit of God within us. And that connection has many ramifications in our life. It has dramatically changed our life, and it continues to do so. But notice next, brethren, in Romans chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 15. The Holy Spirit is so important, and it is such a precious gift in Romans chapter 8. And what it does with us is it interacts with us. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if heirs, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." And then in verse 23, and it says, "Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." So we know, brethren, by the Holy Spirit within us that we are the sons of God. And we are connected to God as his sons by the Holy Spirit. It literally convicts us of our identity, that we are God's sons now, and it does not yet appear what we shall be like in the future when God changes us from flesh to spirit, when he glorifies us. And the Holy Spirit leads us to groan for this change, to long for it, even as we patiently wait for it. And this is because of the Holy Spirit interacting with our minds. If you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter 139, and we'll read verse 7. I thought about just reading this scripture, but I thought it does really help. I know it helps me to actually turn to it and read it. The words of David. And we know that David went through so much in his life. He went through many trials. And he came to rely on God. And we'll talk more about this a little bit later. But notice what David writes in Psalm 139, verse 7. He writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell or Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." This is so beautiful, brethren, as David wrote this, undoubtedly from his heart, as he was connected to God, again, by God's Spirit and presence within him by the Holy Spirit. It's a very beautiful passage as David was connected to God, as we can be as well. Notice Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul writes to the Hebrews and he tells them something that was said earlier in the Old Testament by the Lord, by the one who would later become Jesus, who was talking to the Israelites. And the Apostle Paul talks about that. And he says in verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself, the Lord, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you," quoting from Deuteronomy 31, brethren, as he told that to the Israelites as he led them, and he was faithful and did not forsake them. And here the Apostle Paul is telling us that God will not forsake us. And our understanding and our experience with this comes alive with the Holy Spirit within us as we are connected to God. And we realize that God is with us, as David did, and he will not leave us. He will help us. And we'll talk more about that later in this message. Let's consider some more aspects of our connection to God via the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. However, we speak, verse 7 here. But we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the elders of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Well, the Holy Spirit, brethren, opens our minds to understand the things of God, to have spiritual understanding, and to begin to understand and to see how God thinks. As God opens our minds to understand that, to see how God thinks, how he loves others and us, to begin to think like that, and to think about the spiritual and not be so focused on the physical. God's Holy Spirit brings these things into our mind, and it's one of the ways that God connects to us through his Spirit. Notice back in John chapter 16, we'll read verse 12, we'll begin in verse 12. The Holy Spirit leads us to many things, and it changes our life as it has changed your life and changed my life. But this is the writing or the words of Jesus Christ in John 16, verse 12. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, as he's speaking to the apostles. But he says, however, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth, for it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will teach you things to come. The Holy Spirit, brethren, leads us to truth, to understanding God's truth, which also connects us to God. And to understand the truth is a tremendous spiritual anchor, as God's word itself anchors us. And critical to our understanding of our true understanding is the Holy Spirit opening our mind to the truth and to understanding the Word of God, the Holy Bible, to truly understanding it. And notice another aspect of our connection to God via the Holy Spirit, and this is back in Romans 5. So something else that the Holy Spirit does is it interacts with us. Romans chapter 5, as it interacts, the Holy Spirit interacts and connects us to God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul writes to the Romans, he says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts. And that love, brethren, from God leads us to love others. And it leads us to obey God and to keep his commandments, to keep his law in the spirit, not just the letter. As an example, to not just avoid murder, but to not hate your brother in spite of what he may do to you. God's Spirit brings us to love, and all that that means, it comes from God, as we're connected to God by the Holy Spirit. Let's consider just one more aspect of our connection to God versus the Holy Spirit. And it's here in Romans chapter 8. And it's very interesting. And it's very encouraging, brethren. And it shows us how much God truly loves us. In Romans 8, verse 26, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." God actually helps us and moves us to pray to him by his Holy Spirit working within us. How amazing is that, that God actually helps us to pray? When sometimes we're having trouble, God will help us. God will help us by his Holy Spirit, which connects God to us. So when the storm comes and the wind blows against us, against the building, God anchors us by our understanding of who we are in our relationship with him. And God anchors us with his love in us and our love for him. And that love extends to others. And that love will lead us to forgive so that the winds of anger and resentment and bitterness do not overtake us. And that love for God will lead us to obey him even when the powerful wind is blowing, so to speak, against us. When the storm of spiritual deception comes, we are anchored by the understanding of the truth that God gives us by his Holy Spirit within us. And that anchor is part of our connection to him, our understanding of the truth. And when the earthquake comes, we're connected to God in daily prayer with the Holy Spirit even helping us to pray as we ought. And we know that God will not forsake us as he dwells within us by the Holy Spirit. Do you see the amazing analogy? And we see in these scriptures, and there are many more, that the Holy Spirit connects us to God. And this connection to God via the Holy Spirit is critical to our relationship to him. And it anchors us in multiple ways, as we've seen. So let's look at another element of how the Holy Spirit anchors us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. In John chapter 16, if you'll turn there with me to John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. We've already read this, but let's read it again and look at it from a different perspective as well. "However, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth, for it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and whatever it will tell you, and it will tell you of things to come." As we saw earlier, brethren, the Holy Spirit guides us to understand the Word of God, the Holy Bible. And unlocking the book brings us to understand God's truth and all that that entails. And it changes our life. It has changed your life, and it's changed my life. But as critical and as important as this is, it is not all that the Holy Spirit guides us to see. Notice Psalm chapter 143. Let's go back to David again. There's so many amazing, rich spiritual concepts in his writings as he went through so much and he came to be so close to God and to rely on God. In Psalm 143 in verse 10, Psalm 143 verse 10, David writes, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." So David, obviously beyond a doubt, had God's Holy Spirit. And as we saw, it connected him to God. But then he says to God, lead me in the land of uprightness, and teach me to do your will. You see, the Holy Spirit guides us to righteousness, to see what is right and wrong as God sees right and wrong, which is the only way, what is truly right and wrong. And this is critically important because sometimes, brethren, the right thing to do is not clear. But God, via the Holy Spirit, guides us to see the right way. Especially, brethren, when we're dealing with other people, sometimes it's not clear what we should do. But notice in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, God says that he will help us because God loves us. And he wants us to be there with him in his family. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul was inspired to write to the Philippians, "Therefore, my brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That God works that within us to see what is right and then to have the will to do it. To have the will to do it. Both of these elements, to see the right and to have the will to do it, are vital, important, spiritual anchoring functions of the Holy Spirit as it guides us and convicts us to do what is right. God helps us in so many ways, brethren. And in Romans 9, let's go back to Romans and we'll finish this point in that book. In Romans chapter 9, Paul mentions something here to the Romans that is very important as well, that ties into what we're talking about here, is God guides us by his Holy Spirit to see what's right. In Romans 9, in verse 1, Paul writes, "I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit." You see, brethren, the Holy Spirit acts through our conscience for us to see what is right and wrong, and it urges us to take the right action. And this is so important when temptations and the winds of stress hit us. It's a huge key to help us not to sin. It's part of our spiritual anchor. We need to listen to our conscience as the Holy Spirit works through it to guide us. And then one more verse in this area of the Holy Spirit guiding us. In Romans, back to Romans 8, just a few pages over, in verse 13. This is Romans 8, verse 13. "But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." The Holy Spirit leads or guides us to not live in the flesh, but to put to death the way of sin. And it empowers us to do it if we follow the lead of the Holy Spirit within us. And this brings us logically, brethren, to the next element of how the Holy Spirit anchors us that we'll consider, and that is the Holy Spirit strengthens us. The Holy Spirit strengthens us. And it does so in many ways. But how is this done? Notice Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll read verse 13. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll read verse 13. How the Holy Spirit strengthens us. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory," Paul writes. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Notice what Paul is talking about in this passage that we just read, brethren. He's talking about being strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. And he mentions faith and being rooted and grounded in love. He's talking about comprehension, to comprehend the love of Christ, so that we may be filled with the fullness of God. And then he says that God is able to do even more than we are aware of by his power working within us. This truly is an amazing passage, brethren, and a whole sermon could be given on this passage, I believe, on the subject of God strengthening us, sometimes even in ways that we don't even realize and haven't even asked him to do specifically. But God helps us, and he strengthens us. And he's answering the question here, brethren, of how God strengthens us. It's by his power working within us, and it involves our faith, our love for God and others, and increasingly comprehending or understanding God and being filled with the fullness of God who is love. When we humble ourselves before God, which trials will lead us to do, when we do this, brethren, we come to see how much we really need God and how much we have to rely on him, that we must rely on him. We come to see how much we fall short and that we absolutely need God. And this ties into our connection to God and our relationship with him that we saw earlier. And we know, brethren, by God's word that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. If we submit to God in obedience, he will strengthen our faith, which helps us to trust him and not ourselves, to rely on him. And when we submit to God in love, God helps us by his Spirit to love him even more and to be closer to him. And he helps us to trust his will for us in the long term, to truly trust God. Notice back in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go back there again and read that verse again that we just read. Once again, and look at it even from another perspective. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, therefore, my brethren, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God actually works within us by the Holy Spirit to have the will and the way to do his good pleasure. As we read this scripture earlier about God guiding us. But I had not considered this before, but this is also connected to God strengthening us in time of trial and stress. When the strong winds or earthquakes come into our life, he's there within us by the Holy Spirit to anchor us by moving us to do his will. And his will is to submit to him and to rely on him and to trust him and to love him. And he will ultimately deliver you in the end, which we believe in the inner man, deep in our heart, by our faith in him. And this faith is also from God. It's amazing. God will increase our faith as we submit to him and connect to him in prayer, Bible study, meditation, and fasting. But notice more of what Paul says here in Philippians. Let's go to chapter 4 and read verse 12 through 13. Paul says, I know how to be abased. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, Paul experienced both abundance and great hardship, and he learned to rely on and to trust God in every situation because Jesus Christ was within him and strengthening him by the working of the power of the Holy Spirit within Paul. So that Paul had faith and love and comprehension and trust as he allowed the Holy Spirit to guide him and to strengthen him. We have the same power and presence of God within us, brethren, the Holy Spirit, and it will strengthen us as we connect to God and as we submit to him. And as we just saw in Ephesians 3 earlier, God helps and strengthens us in ways that we do not always see nor understand right now. But eventually we will, when all is revealed, and we will see that there were things going on, brethren, with God in the background that we were not even aware of. Because God loves us, and he's helping us. He's guiding us and strengthening us. And he's connected to us by his Spirit. This is why Paul wrote in verse 13 here in Philippians 4, that he could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened him. Jesus can and will strengthen us as well. Hold your place here in Philippians 4 if you have a marker. And turn with me back to David's writings in Psalm 28, verse 7. Psalm 28 and verse 7. Psalm 28 and verse 7. David writes, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart gladly rejoices, and with song I will praise him." So David experienced the same power, the strengthening of God. He says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." And he trusted in God, and God delivered him. And therefore, he says, "My heart rejoices." He appreciated it, and he praised God in song. David was close to God, and he came to rely on God because there were times that there was nothing else. It had to be God helping him. And God did. He did not forsake David. He will not forsake us. God will help us and strengthen us as he did David. And then just one more scripture in this point, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 7. If you'll turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul writes, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the Holy Spirit within us, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. And we are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body." So, brethren, God will give you the strength that you need by his power via the treasure we have within us, in our earthen vessel within us. Our loving God does strengthen us according to his will and purpose. Part of our anchoring of our life and our building by analogy. Well, brethren, I wanted to take just a short break. This is kind of heavy, and sometimes it's good just to take a quick break. So I brought a couple of things to maybe on the light side. And one of them was I had to go in my job. I had to go to another part of my building, and the secretary that I had to talk to had this thing framed, a saying framed on her desk, and I thought it was very interesting. It said, "Life is short. Smile while you still have your teeth. Life is short. Smile while you still have your teeth." And then one other thing I'd like to read to you, and this is by no means, brethren, we know that fortune tellers are either charlatans or they're affected by some dark forces. And so we don't go to fortune tellers. But I do have a little a very short story here, a humorous story about a fortune teller. It says, a fortune teller studied the hand of a young man and said, you will be poor and very unhappy until you are 37 years old. And the young man responded, well, after that, what will happen? Will I be rich and happy? And the fortune teller said, no, you'll still be poor, but you'll be used to it after that. So that was pretty interesting. So hopefully that gives us just a little bit of a break, brethren. And then we're going to consider just a few more of these points about the anchoring of God's Spirit. So this fourth element of how God anchors us by the Holy Spirit is it gives us comfort, encouragement, and peace. And they're all kind of related, but they're yet distinct. Comfort, encouragement, and peace. Turn back with me. Hopefully you saved your place in Philippians. Turn back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, if you had a way to do that. And we'll read verse 19. This is Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will give us what we need. Why? Because he loves us and he wants us to be in his family. As I've mentioned already, God wants us to make it. And one of the many things God gives to us is strength when we need it, as we saw in the last element. But as human beings, we also need something that is connected to, yet distinct from, spiritual strength. We also need encouragement and peace, and to be comforted by God, which he faithfully does. And we need this at times, we all do, brethren, as we go through trials and difficulties and challenges in our life and temptations. If you hold your place here and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. I thought about just reading this to you, and I thought there is a value to reading this in God's Word, to looking at it as I'm reading it to you. Because God is merciful, and God is the God of comfort, because he is a God of love, and it's one of the manifestations of his mercy as well, that God comforts us. And how does God comfort us? He can and does encourage us by his word, which by the Holy Spirit he has opened our minds to understand, which ties into our earlier element of being connected to God. And this is why it's so important to read and study God's word regularly. It is an amazing encouragement to us, especially when combined with prayer. And like we saw in the previous element, about God strengthening us, we need to humble ourselves before him as we read and as we pray. And that humility leads us to be thankful, to be thankful to God. But God encourages us by his word, which he has opened our minds to see and understand the truth. Notice in John chapter 14, verse 26, there's another way that God comforts us and helps us to be at peace. John chapter 14 and verse 26. There's an important element that Jesus Christ mentions here that is brought about by the working of the Holy Spirit within our mind. This is John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And we read this earlier and we talked about how the Holy Spirit leads us and teaches us. But brethren, the Holy Spirit also helps us to remember. To remember not only what we have learned, but what we have experienced in the past. And the Holy Spirit helps us to remember when we saw God's handiwork in our own life and in the life of others. The Holy Spirit helps us to remember how God has blessed us and how far God has brought us to this point. And this is a powerful part of God encouraging us. I think I have time, so I wanted to just tell you a very brief story. Some of you may know that I actually grew up in the Detroit area. That's where I met Chris. Chris's father was a local elder. And when Chris and I first got married, we were visiting in their home, and I believe the pastor from the Detroit area was also there, and there was a call on the telephone, and I was new in the faith, and it was a man that called and said that his daughter was really sick, and he actually brought her to the home, to the Graham's home. Chris Graham was her maiden name, Mr. Ken Graham, and Mr. Graham and the pastor anointed this little girl, and we were all kneeling there, and she was in a lot of pain, and it just melted away, and the girl stopped crying, and she was just exhausted and just went to sleep. And the father was just so relieved, and he took her. And I remember of what an effect that had upon me, especially being new in the faith. It just literally brought me to tears to see God doing this, and I've always remembered it. And there are so many other things, brethren, when we think about how God has healed us or has healed other people or has helped us sometimes to avoid accidents or other things in our lives that God has blessed us. The Holy Spirit helps us to remember these things. You know, when Satan is trying to discourage you and trying to put you in a bad attitude about something, God's Spirit, if we allow it, will help us to remember these other things. Because remember, what happened to the Israelites? They forgot what happened to them in their past and how God performed all these wonderful miracles for them. And then they got later on into the promised land and they forgot all these things. But God's Spirit helps us to not forget the past and what God has done for us. Things that encourage us and help us. Notice, brethren, back in Ephesians, we're here in John, back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6. We've been in Ephesians quite a bit today. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Humility, brethren, leads us to giving heartfelt thanks to God in prayer on a continuing basis. And as we connect to God by asking Him in heartfelt prayer, He will give us peace via His power within us. Peace that surpasses human understanding, that comes from God's Spirit. It only comes from God. And we cannot completely understand how it exactly happens, but God promises that it will come to us if we pray and stay close to Him and stay connected to Him. And this is by God's working of His Spirit within us, it will bring us peace. Notice here in Philippians, continuing in verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things," as we read in the sermonette today. God says in verse 9, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." To meditate on good and positive things with God's help by His Spirit within us will lead us and help us to push out wrong thoughts, which helps to drive away discouragement and anxiety. God will help us to do these things by His power within us. And then notice Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. I know this is a lot of scriptures, but it's truly amazing how God works with us. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." The washing and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We need to be spiritually washed on a regular basis. And why is this? Because our own sins and the sins of others that affect us can and will have an effect on our mind, as we also heard in the sermonette. Because lust, anger, resentment, bitterness, envy, and even jealousy can be in our mind and it can take root. And we need to bring this before God on a daily basis and pray for the cleansing of our mind by the Holy Spirit, by God's power within us. And this daily renewal, brethren, is another way that God comforts us, and he brings us to peace. To bring these things before God and allow God to wash and cleanse us and renew us on a daily basis. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "But it is God." See, am I in the right verse here? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Forgive me. It says, this is chapter 4, verse 16, 2 Corinthians. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Renewed day by day by the Holy Spirit within us. This is why, brethren, it is so important not to forsake daily prayer and study and ask God to replenish his Spirit within you, as we need God's Spirit and a renewal of his Spirit on a continuing basis. In verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And then Paul brings in another element of how the Holy Spirit comforts us in this verse. And that is the hope that is within us. Hope that was placed there in our mind by God via the Holy Spirit. And we talked about this at the very beginning, about the hope that is an anchor of the soul that was put there by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit stirs up this hope within us as it renews our mind on a continuing basis. And hope is a powerful comforter and stabilizer in the face of trial, even great trial, even when the earthquake comes. If you have hope within you, then there is a way to get through it. It's a comforting element. It's an encouraging when you have the hope within you. And that's why, brethren, when something is threatening your very faith itself, when you're tempted to leave the faith for whatever reason, the hope that you have will not allow you to. The hope for the future that God put within you and that God renews on a continuing basis. But you know what? You can lose that hope if you break off your contact with God. If you stop praying and you stop allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and strengthen you and help you and renew you, then you can lose that hope and that anchor in your life. But it won't happen, brethren, unless you allow it to happen, unless you or I allow it to happen. Before we leave this element of God comforting us by the Holy Spirit, I wanted to mention one more aspect of God comforting us by the Holy Spirit. It's here in 2 Corinthians, just a couple chapters over, in chapter 1, verse 3. And it's something, brethren, that's very, very important. And it's another element of how God comforts us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. We've already read this, but let me read verse 3 again. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." I intentionally did not read verse 4 when I first read it, but it says, "who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We can comfort others as we have been comforted. We can comfort and encourage others. Notice Hebrews chapter 10. This will be the last scripture under this point. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Paul says something here to the Hebrews that is very, very interesting and applies to what we just read. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. It says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." We can and should be a source of encouragement to one another, brethren. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important to be here with one another, if we possibly can. You know, I've lost track, brethren, of how many times I've been encouraged by my brethren. And I hope I've encouraged them and you in some way. And we can all improve in this, but it's amazing how sometimes a person can say or do something that is just what is needed at just the right time. And is God involved in this? Absolutely. Absolutely. By His Holy Spirit, God can and does help us to encourage and to comfort one another. And this is yet another way that God comforts us and even works through us to help comfort others. And it's an important aspect of our spiritual anchoring. God truly is a God of comfort, and He works in amazing ways. I'd like to cover a couple of more elements of God anchoring us by His Holy Spirit, and we will not be spending nearly as much time on the next two elements. We've already had four, but here's number five. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit convicts us, and that conviction is so important in our life. In John chapter 16 and verse 7, if you'll turn there, please. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Again, it's Jesus Christ talking about the Holy Spirit. This is John chapter 16 and verse 7. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. And if I depart, I will send it to you. And when it has come, it will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of just judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." The Holy Spirit convicts us now, and eventually it will convict all mankind of sin. What does this mean for us right now, and how does it relate to God anchoring us by the Holy Spirit? As I mentioned earlier, sometimes trials can come upon us that are due all or in part to our own sin. This can be especially true when we're involved in a trial involving others, and possibly their sin affects us. And sometimes our own pride and self-righteousness can cloud our judgment so that we do not see our own sin in the situation. And this can lead to bitterness, resentment, and even discouragement that can threaten our building, so to speak, that can threaten us if we allow this to escalate in our mind and to take root. But God will help us, brethren, by His Spirit to see our own sin. It will help to convict us. You know, Job had a big problem. Let's turn over to Job chapter 13. Job chapter 13. You look at the story of Job and you say, why did God allow these horrible things to happen to Job? I mean, he lost his family, most of his family, his possessions, his health, his friends. He suffered horrifically. Why did God allow that to happen? It was for Job, for his own good ultimately. Because Job had a problem that he couldn't see. And it's also to help everyone else that would read this account then and in the future. billions of people. Do we see how amazing God is? But notice Job chapter 13, verse 23. It says, how many, Job is saying, are my iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Because Job was having a problem seeing his own sin, his own weakness. He was blinded to it. But God helped him to see his own sin. And he brought about, in the end, a very good result with Job. God will help us to see by his Holy Spirit. He will help us like he helped Job to see and convict us of our own sin when it is necessary to do so. This can be an invaluable tool to help us when we need to see, because that can stabilize us, because it can stabilize us when there's something facing us and it's not easy to tell what's right or wrong, or if it's a problem with yourself or not. Something that's, again, threatening our building. The Holy Spirit convicts us and helps us to understand and to see clearly. And now the last spiritual anchoring element we will consider today, this is number 6, is the Holy Spirit imparts wisdom. And I think we've already touched on it in one of the passages that we read earlier. But let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. The Holy Spirit imparts wisdom. Then shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom. Because you see, brethren, all true wisdom comes from God. And then notice our last scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. This is our last scripture, Ephesians 1 verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And we've read part of this already, brethren. We see how all of these points today kind of tie into each other in a very interesting and amazing way. But brethren, God gives us wisdom as we walk with him on our life's journey, as we obey him and are connected to him and draw close to him, as we put effort into prayer. God will give us wisdom at critical times to help us. And it ties into our relationship with him, our connection to him via the Holy Spirit. And this wisdom helps us to put things into perspective and to know when to let go and to leave things in his hands, because sometimes we have to do that. And the wisdom helps us to keep the proper perspective and our eyes on the end goal, which is God's kingdom and his divine family. Wisdom from God is another powerful tool to stabilize and anchor us. So in conclusion, we've considered several elements today on how God spiritually anchors us or stabilizes our life, or by analogy, our building. Those elements where the Holy Spirit connects us to God. It guides us, strengthens us, comforts, encourages, and brings us peace. It convicts us of sin, and it imparts wisdom to us. All of these things are great stabilizers for us. And when the winds of spiritual trials come, God will spiritually anchor us. Even when the really big trial hits, the big earthquake, we will be anchored and will not fall. And this is not by our own means, but by the power and presence of God within us via the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the rest of the Sabbath.